Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Rose intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Joined by Paul Dottino, I am John Schmelk. 1 hour of New York Giants talk at 201-939-4513. We take your calls and your Twitter messages at hashtag GiantsChat. And Paul, obviously we got the last game of the season coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles. The game, in terms of the playoff picture at least, meaningless for both teams. Both teams are out of the playoffs, sitting there at 6-9. Both teams obviously will not avoid a 10-loss season. One team will. One team will finish 7-9. One will finish 6-10.
And one's going to London.
And one's going to London. And more importantly, the other one's going to Seattle, which no one ever wants to do. So that's kind of a rock and a hard place in there, especially for you who wants no part of going across the Atlantic Ocean. You understand, folks. Paul Dottino is like a creature with a natural habitat. That natural habitat is the state of New Jersey. Now, occasionally, the creature can leave his habitat for small periods of time and survive. But when you take that creature too far away, bad things tend to happen. Remember the Simpsons episode where Bart brought the frog to Australia and it took over the whole ecosystem? That's what might happen if Paul Dottino has to go to Europe. The continent will never be the same.
They're not ready for me over there. My energy? Are you kidding me? Seriously?
No spot of tea?
Come on. I'll be like nitroglycerin in London. This would be a very bad match. And I guarantee you, with all due respect, London folks, I'm sure you're wonderful people.
No, London's great.
But do you have great pasta? Do you have great pizza?
You don't have to have Italian food wherever you go.
I eat it all the time.
Well, maybe you should expand your horizons a little bit.
Anyway,
London's beautiful, by the way. It's a great city.
I'm sure it is, and the Ferris wheel and everything. I saw it on the Fantastic Four.
Your point of reference for London is the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Actually,
that's what your point of reference
is. It's the Avengers.
All right, the Avengers War was a much better movie.
The original Avengers 60s television show, which you don't remember.
Oh, they actually remade that into a movie, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago?
Mr. Steve.
Yes.
And Emma Peel.
Absolutely. Anyway, getting back to where we were going with those whole conversation, as Paul tries to dip us back into the 1950s. Boy, this is already going off the rails. We did talk to players in the locker room yesterday, Paul.
Yes.
And to a man, even though how this whole thing started, no playoff implications with this particular game.
Right.
It is important to a lot of these players and to the coaches to come out of there with a win to set a good tone heading into this offseason.
Yeah, I don't remember talking to any player who said that the game is meaningless, it doesn't matter. Every single one that I spoke to said, you definitely want to win the game.
Of course, they were probably afraid if they said it didn't matter, you'd probably get really mad and have some kind of physical assault on them.
Well, maybe I just have to suit up. They don't want that either. No, really, to be honest with you folks, the sincerity from some of the players that I did speak with was that it's bad enough that the team's not making the playoffs, but you don't want to go into the offseason off a loss. It just makes you even more miserable.
And frankly, these guys are embarrassed about how the season's gone. They want to end on a win. They want to go out saying, look, you know what, at least we put a win together for our home fans in the final game against a division rival.
Well, and that's the other thing to remember. It is a division rival.
No
it's
one wants to lose
rival.
To Philly.
It's the Philadelphia Eagles. And how many times have I said this in the 30-plus years I've been around this team? When the Giants and Eagles play, you could put the two practice squads out there in the middle of the field, and they will knock heads. I mean, this turnpike tussle has been a war for many and many years, and the Eagles have owned it now for quite a few years.
They have. That's true.
Okay? They've won the last three. It's 12 out of 16, I believe.
We hope maybe Chip Kelly's departure maybe will help that out a little bit.
Oh, you never can tell. But they have certainly owned this series now for a while. And you know, you'd have to go back to right before this chunk of change that I'm talking about, to where the Giants owned the series, it seemed like, for 4 or 5 years. Now it's gone in the other direction. No, There's players in that locker room. They're tired of losing to that wing on the green helmet. They're tired of that. They want to win this game.
And a couple other things. This is on the periphery, really not important in the large scheme of things, Paul. But there are a number of individual records for some players that could get broken or could be on the line on Sunday. Why don't you take us through some of them? And if you miss any, I have a couple here, too, that I want to go through.
Well, you got the quarterback one with Eli Manning, who has 33 touchdown passes and needs three to tie Y.A. Tittle, who threw 36 way back when in the early 60s in a single season, when, by the way, it was unheard of. My dad tells me, and no, I did not see Y.A. Tittle play in person, John. I know what's coming. I know. My dad tells me that Y.A. was the Dan Marino of his time. Mm-hmm. And so to get a perspective, remember, they only played 14 games in those days, and it was not nearly the pass-happy league has become.
Y.A. Tittle was the premier passer of that age. Absolutely.
He was the gunner, you know. So in any event, he was the Dan Fouts, if you will, or the Dan Marino of his time. So there's that. There's Odell Beckham.
Now, Eli Manning's already set his own personal career high, right, for touchdown passes thrown, or is he still a couple off?
No,
that?
He's got that.
He has that already, right?
But he's three away from the franchise high. Mm-hmm. Now, Odell Beckham, he's got three things he's looking at. He's got 91 catches, which ties what he did last year, but Steve Smith is the only Giant who's ever caught 100 passes in a season. The only one.
And so he's nine away from that.
Nine away from that. Okay, so that's pretty cool. You've got Beckham 140 yards behind Victor Cruz for the all-time Giants yardage receiving record in a single season. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's certainly catchable, too. Nine passes for 140 yards, that's doable.
And there's one more.
Okay. Then there's the touchdown receiving record.
Yep.
He's tied with Homer Jones with 13 apiece. One catch in the end zone, and Odell owns that record, too. So he's got some very historical numbers that he's looking at. And consider the fact, you know, he did miss last week's game. So good for him if he does it.
Now a couple more specific things. I'm not a big fan of these, you know, through X number of games guys have done this. But I'll throw a couple out there for you anyway.
Right.
First two seasons in the NFL, right now, Odell Beckham. This is, again, through your first 2 years in the league. He has 182 receptions. That's six behind Jarvis Landry, who will obviously also be active on Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't think he's hurt or anything like
that.
So he'll see if he can out-catch him by six. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We'll keep an eye on that. He needs 26 yards to pass Randy Moss for the most receiving yards by a wide receiver in his first two seasons. Mm. And right now he's tied for fourth with 25 touchdowns in his first 2 years. He's two behind Bob Hayes and Rob Gronkowski, three behind Randy Moss, and four behind Bill Grohman. So he won't break that record, but he is two behind Bob Hayes and Gronk for touchdowns in his first 2 years.
Folks, I don't know how many of you remember Bob Hayes. Bob Hayes was a track star.
He's a sprinter. He's
a track star. One of the fastest men alive at the time on the planet.
Bullet.
And the Cowboys brought him in, and Tom Landry just, you know, to his credit, he said, hey, this guy's a football player. He could do it. You know, a lot of younger fans may remember Ronaldo Nehemiah, who was a track star, who played wide receiver for the 49ers.
Or younger fans, maybe John Jett, who played wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. James Jett, right?
James Jett, sorry. Hayes was better than any of those guys. Hayes was legit. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy's Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver. He was the real thing, and he was tough enough to catch it over the middle, to take the hard hits.
Cowboys Ring of Honor.
He's legit. He was legit. Now, I saw him more at the end of his career, but he was a burner who just he really got the job done. So if Beckham can catch him, that'd be pretty cool.
No question about it. All right, a couple things on the game itself, folks. I don't want to get too far into the weeds here. But we'll do it for 5 minutes, then we'll take your calls at 201-939-4513. Paul, to me, you know, you're not going to have a change in the playbook with Chip Kelly not being there. You're not going to have a change in the X's and O's. But to me, there are a few things here, and Steve Spagnuolo talked about this a little bit yesterday. I'm not sure if you watched his media availability on the website. But he said tendencies can change, the type of play calls a team might have, and, you know, second and short, third and long, which, you know, opponents can track and try to figure out. With a new guy calling plays, it's not Chip Kelly. That's something that can certainly change now with Pat Shurmur, the guy, being the final man in charge, even though he was the offensive coordinator before. And to me, how you use the running backs can change in terms of frequency, what guys you have in for what plays. That's more of a feel thing throughout the game. It's not the offense that changes, but how you maybe utilize some of the players within that offense.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting when you talk about the three backs, Sproles, Matthews, and Murray. Sproles just does what he does.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think he's going to be a bell cow for any coach.
No, absolutely not.
That's not what he does.
I think the bigger question is DeMarco Murray.
Murray and Matthews.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matthews has one 100-yard game this year. Murray's got one 100-yard game this year. Murray's 100 yards was against the Giants.
121. He's averaging only 3.5 yards per carry.
Okay. So if I'm Pat Shurmur and I'm the interim coach on Sunday, I'm probably going to feature DeMarco Murray.
And again, the Giants are banged up up front. JPP is going to try to practice today with the ankle, see how he does. Mm-hmm. JT Thomas will not. So the Giants are a little shorthanded up front.
You know, and so that would be my way to go. Now, I know we were talking to some of the defensive players in the locker room yesterday, and they weren't so much convinced that there'd be much of a change. But I do think that DeMarco Murray's track record against the Giants when he was with Dallas, too, was pretty good.
Well, here we go. DeMarco Murray in 7 games against the Giants with Dallas and in Philadelphia, 133 carries, 686 yards, a 5.2-yard average, 2 touchdowns. Don't forget, 20 catches for 134 yards as well.
I mean,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. And if I'm Shurmur and I'm looking at those numbers, I'm saying to myself, okay, I think we can go with you this week.
And, you know, it's weird. The players change, but sometimes when a player just sees a certain jersey, they play well. Or, in Manny's case, when he sees the purple jersey, he starts throwing it to the guys in the purple.
Yeah.
It just happens. You play well against some teams, you play poorly against others. It's just the way it works sometimes in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting about Eli. I was just scratching my head trying to think, and I couldn't come up with any. And then I did some research on it. The Minnesota Vikings, the only NFC team that Manning has played against in his career where he has a lifetime losing percentage and a negative touchdown to interception ratio.
He probably has.
Is that unbelievable?
He probably has a losing record against the Saints, but he probably definitely has a positive touchdown to interception.
I'm talking about both.
I
researched it, and this is true. It's the only NFC team.
The only NFC team.
Huh? NFC team. It's the only one. Now, there are a couple of AFC teams, 3 or 4, that he's only played 2 or 3 times, and he didn't beat. So that doesn't count.
Seahawks?
The AFC teams?
No, the Seahawks is NFC now, Paul. I know they've switched recently.
Yeah, but...
Imagine the Seahawks is probably pretty close, right?
I can't remember who's close.
That's interesting. Okay.
I'm just telling you, the only NFC team...
That wasn't easy. That's some hard work out of you right there.
I was really curious.
Apparently.
It blew my mind.
That's like hours of research.
It blew my mind. So I went and dug it up. And like I say, there are like 3 AFC teams, I think, where he's played them only 2 or 3 times.
Right.
And it doesn't mean a whole lot. But so I said, okay, let me just focus on National Football Conference since that's who he plays more often. And the only team, both
right.
stats, negative touchdown interception ratio and a losing winning percentage. Minnesota Vikings,
well,
the only one.
It makes sense. You can't use the AFC teams. You only play them once. The things
exactly.
get skewed.
Exactly.
Anyway, 2 other notes on the Eagles I want to hit on before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. Eagles this year, their defense, they've allowed 400 or more yards in 6 straight games. That's the second longest streak, in the NFL since 1950. The only other team with a longer streak than that are the Saints, who allowed 400 yards in 10 straight games back in 2012. I'm curious to see what the longest streak is for the Giants this year, allowing 400 yards per game. I have to look that up. I'm not sure what the answer to that is. They didn't give up 400 last week to Minnesota because Minnesota got all those short fields from the takeaways and the onside kick. The other note for the Eagles I want to bring up, 0-7 this year when they rush for less than 100 yards, 6-2 when they rush for over 100 yards.
You know, let me just say one thing about that stat, John.
I know, because if you get behind, you don't run it, and then you throw a lot, and it's yards attempt. I get that. But I do think with the Eagles, it is important for them to run well, and you don't want to make Sam Bradford do too much.
That's true. My feeling on that number is, I'd like to know when people quote a team's record when they rush for 100 or 125, or whatever number they want to use as the litmus test.
Right.
What I want to know is, How many of those games were they trailing by more than a touchdown?
And I want to know,
or how many were they ahead by more than a touchdown?
And what were like the first half stats? You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? How'd they get the lead in those games?
Phil Mushnick for the Post is the one who kills that stat.
Right.
He's been killing that stat
right.
for decades. And he's right, because there are too many other factors that are involved. But
there are many things he's right about, by the way, but that actually is one of them.
If somebody can
Sorry, Phil.
Can qualify that number, when they give that number to me and say, okay, 100 yards rushing or 125 yards rushing in games that were decided by 7 or less points.
Right.
Maybe now it means something to me.
Yeah, because if you get those rushing yards in garbage time that don't affect the result, no. That is absolutely right, and he's right. A lot of those stats, and Phil, you're absolutely right about some of the stats that people throw out there that, they can be very misleading.
Look at McKinnon's 68-yard right. touchdown run for the Vikings the other night.
It looks like the Vikings ran all over the Giants last week.
Yeah, with 200 yards
rushing, it looked like they just ran the ball down their throats. That's how they won. That's not how the game went.
No.
It simply isn't.
No.
All right. 201-939-4513. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Pam has been holding the longest. She's down in North Carolina. Pam, good afternoon. How are you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
Doing great.
Hi.
I don't got a question. I want your opinion. Well, I don't got an opinion about facts. Tom Coughlin is going to stay Giants coach.
Honestly, Pam?
Honestly. I'll tell you my opinion.
What's your opinion, Pam?
I think he needs to go. I'm sorry.
Why is that, Pam?
He's done good. We won a couple Super Bowls with him, but I think his time's ran out. We need new, fresh blood. Along with our defense. And be just quite blunt, Jerry Reese needs to go too. Sorry.
All right, Ben. Thank you for the call. We appreciate your opinion.
I'm only going to say one thing about this. All right? And I've been around a long time. Everybody knows that.
As you like to state very often.
Well, I do, because I think it's important for credibility purposes, John. A lot of people
And no one thinks you're credible. I know. It's fine.
Well, they talk out of their backside a lot.
I know.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't believe anybody truly knows what's going to happen.
I think there's one man that knows, and he probably hasn't said anything to anybody yet.
Ownership may have an idea. Maybe they don't. I don't know the answer to that either.
No, nobody does.
So here's what I want to just
And
tell
I'll be
you.
Honest. I had side conversations with people in the locker room, in the media room the other day, and you even talked to the reporters. Nobody has any idea.
All I'm going to say to you folks is anything you're reading in the papers – just let it unfold.
That is a decision that ownership's going to make, and we'll know when they make it. And until then, we'll just wait and see. 201-939-4513. Marco's in Connecticut. Marco, what's up, pal?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, Marco?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Listen, it was tough for me to get some time today to call you. A busy day, but it was important for me to call in. Just gonna vent a little bit, and then I'd love to get your feedback. I promise I'm gonna do all I can not to put you both in a position where, I understand this is an awkward time to talk about certain things. Here's what I think. I want to know which direction do you think the arrow's pointing in on personnel on our team?
What do you mean?
Because I've been having a hard time with this. I've gotten into a lot of discussions with friends that. And you guys have heard this too. When people talk about the drafts and Jerry Reese, they automatically start bringing up a lot of players that didn't pan out here. And that's on his resume, no doubt about it. But if you're really paying attention to what's going on here, the drafts the last 3 years, let's be real, 3 years have been pretty solid. Guys that are really, I think, going to be on the team going forward. And I don't think you talk about the problem or the solution. I think they're part of the solution. Pugh, Richburg, Flowers, who am I skipping over last
Beckham,
year?
Kennard,
obviously Beckham. So whenever people talk about Clint Sintem, Philip Dillard, I think it's irrelevant. I really don't. Jarrell Jernigan. Listen, it'd be great if those guys were still on the team making the difference, but they're not. And no one can go back to those days and do anything about it. So before I go on about Coach Coughlin, because I, I, I love Coach, and there's a lot I want to say about him. What, do you think when we sit back and look at this team, is the arrow pointing in the right direction, or is the team really what the record says they are, and they do have a problem here that they need to overcome?
Well, Marco, I think your team is always what your record says it is. I mean, that's what Bill Parcells says. You are what your record says you are.
I don't believe it with this team, though. Not they could hang with any team this year. They truly could.
Yeah, but you know, Marco, hanging with teams and beating teams are two different things. I mean, for example, look at – I'm trying to think of another team I can use as an example in the league. For example, that's a good one. The Dallas Cowboys this year, they played without their starting quarterback Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. They've been virtually in every game they've played, but they have four wins. Do you think that just because they were in every game that they could be a playoff team without Tony Romo and Dez Bryant?
No, absolutely not. I think Dallas is an easy one. You know, if they have the quarterback and the receiver there, they are a completely different team. Injuries hit them, and that's. Hey, you got to be lucky sometimes to stay healthy.
Well, Marco, I will say this on your overall point. I believe you made a great point, and I think Paul will agree with this. And Mr. Mara spoke about this at the end of last season in terms of how the drafts have been. But I don't think there's any doubt that the last few drafts that the Giants have had at the top of the drafts have produced some very good players that are going to be starting on this team for a long time. No question about it.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my next point. I've heard callers call in this week. It's kind of been like an homage to Coach Coughlin, and it's one of the most awkward things ever because he doesn't want to talk about it. No one truly knows what's going to happen. People think they know what's going to happen. Twitter is absolutely crazy. And then I feel pretty confident that we have John Mara, Steve Tisch. They'll put their heads together, and you know, I don't know what's going to happen Monday, but I am going to say this because if I'm not able to call in, obviously tomorrow's New Year's Day, and then Monday we'll see what happens. This guy, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame, I don't care. I'm going to be in Canton someday when that guy goes in. I love Coach Coughlin. I absolutely love him. I don't care if he's 70, 80, 90 years old. That guy should be the coach of this team. It is not his fault what has gone on this year. And I'm not going to put the blame on anybody. This group, Reese, Coughlin, McAdoo, Spags, they deserve to come back. I really feel strongly about it. I'm not saying it because I'm a fan. The team is trending in the right direction. They're very, very, very close. And Coughlin deserves the absolute best here. And it does not mean, and I don't want it to go down this way. I really hope, I know there's 1 year left on his deal, and they usually don't do this. I would love for him to come back. Coach off the last year. I mean, will people say, hey, it's Coach Coughlin's last year? I'm sure they'll say it and they'll know it. But let him come back and finish this last year. The team is there, man. And I could go on all day about him. Hey, quick story. I know I took up a lot of time.
That's right, Marco. Go ahead.
I got married a couple years ago, and we were at an event where it was right after the Giants won the 2011 Super Bowl, and Chris Snee was there with Kevin Booth, and they were showing off their rings, and the Lombardi Trophy was there. My brother pulled Chris Snee aside to ask him if it'd be possible if Coach Coughlin could come to my wedding and give the blessing at my wedding. I mean, that's how strongly we feel about Coach Coughlin. This is no joke.
Snee got the
biggest kick out of it. He was like, "Listen, I'm sorry." He's like, "He usually spends time with his family over the summer. You know, that's not going to happen." But we think the world of this guy. I want him to be the coach, and we'll see what happens, guys. Okay?
Thank you, Marco. Appreciate
the call.
Bye-bye. You know, if you guys have a chance, by the way, I would stress and not request, but I think it would be a good idea if you went to the website today. I'm not sure if it's up there. Hey, Neil, is Tom Coughlin's press conference up yet? It should be shortly. Whenever it gets up there, go to Giants.com, check it out. Tom was very loose today. He was loosey-goosey.
Yes, he was. He was good. You know,
and I think my favorite part, by the way, of the whole press conference, Tom Canavan, who has some funny, quirky questions sometimes. Tom has some good deadpan humor. He's very, very good. And, you know, if you've watched Tom's press conference, he's gotten all sorts of questions about all, you know, job security, all that stuff this year. And Tom just goes to him, you know, coach, and all these things that we've talked to you about, no one's ever asked you, do you want to coach next year? And Tom just laughs and loses it. I thought it was a very funny moment.
Yeah, it was. Coach Coughlin's a lot more witty and humorous than a lot of people know.
He was in a good mood today.
He was. He was. I think probably, you know, because he's very happy with the way his team has responded this week. He told us they've practiced very well. They've been focused very well. And
now, again, we've heard that before. Let's see it reflect on game
day. No question.
Right.
But to this point, he's got a lot that he's smiling about in terms of the way the team has performed during the week. And, you know, that's better than being miserable about how they're practicing, for sure.
He also has some very nice things to say about Landon Collins today, too, by the way.
Well, you know, Landon Collins is an interesting guy because he's made a lot of rookie mistakes like you all knew we would.
And especially in coverage.
Yeah, and I keep telling people, you know, we talked about being at Alabama and being with Nick Saban, and that's going to make you as pro-ready as you can be. Okay, that's true. The problem is there's still a jump there.
You're still not pro-ready. You're just as pro-ready as you can be.
Right.
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 You still got to look at him and say he's on the rookie curve. And, folks, I tried to tell you this over the summer, okay? If you're going to start Landon Collins at safety, if you're going to start Ereck Flowers at one of the tackle spots, there's going to be growing pains and you're going to have to live with. You're going to have to
I tried to stress
it.
The same thing, absolutely.
Well, if, you know, Uwani Unga is playing a ton of snaps at middle linebacker, understand, you know, the guy's got no experience in a real NFL game coming into this year. There were mistakes that are going to be made. The question is, how many? And at what time do they occur? And then does the other team take advantage of them? That's what it comes down to. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. Anyway, but yes, he was very complimentary about Collins and some of his progress and some of the things that he has seen him develop during the course of the season. And I'm quite confident, as was Coach Coughlin, this guy's going to be an NFL safety for a long time.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phones and say what's up to Jeff up in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening, pal?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year to you both,
Happy
of course,
New Year.
And everybody else there at the show.
Thank you.
I just want to run this by you. I've been looking at the Giants roster recently pretty thoroughly, and my thinking is this, and I want you to tell me if you agree with me or not, but my thinking is this, that with the addition, maybe seven or eight, maybe not even that many, really good quality free agents and another really good draft, that we might be able to really, you know, turn this team around in a hurry. Of course, I'm like every other Giants fan, and I don't want to see us be going off the cliff here and having to wait another 6 or 7 years to get back to the playoffs, because we all want to be in the playoffs every year, of course. But what do you think about that?
Let me answer this one, John, because I think I can give him a legitimate answer.
That's why I looked at you.
Back in the springtime, my estimate is that the Giants were approximately 10 to maybe 12 players away from being the kind of caliber team that I think they want to be. Now, when you take the division into consideration and you curve it, well, maybe they weren't as far away
maybe,
as I thought.
Maybe there were six.
Okay. And so what I tried to tell you folks around the time of the draft was that if you're going to agree with my premise, and I think I was fair in that premise, you can figure on getting maybe as many as seven in a given year. You think you're going to get maybe three or four draft picks that may give you something right away.
And that's a really good year if you
okay.
get seven.
And then you get maybe three or four free agents.
Right.
So maybe you can do seven. In a good year, you may be able to get seven guys who come in and give you an immediate impact. Okay? Now, think of what the Giants had this year. Flowers came in and gave him immediate impact. Mm-hmm. Collins came in, gave them immediate impact.
And that's pretty much the immediate impact from the draft class.
You know?
Which is not a surprise. Usually that tends to happen with a lot of the draft classes.
You know, they didn't get as much immediacy, perhaps, as maybe they wanted to. Odighizuwa got hurt,
mm-hmm.
which was very unfortunate. I think they were counting on getting something out of him.
Which, and by the way, coming out of the draft, the reason he dropped the third round is because there were injury concerns. Now,
hip.
They're unrelated.
It was a hip, though. Totally different.
Unrelated to what he had in college, okay. Absolutely, but that was a concern.
So that was a bit disappointing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they're very happy with Brad Wing, who's now their punter of the present and the future.
Correct.
So that was a good addition. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's three.
Dwayne Harris.
Dwayne Harris was a good addition.
It's four.
All right, four.
Vereen.
Vereen was a real good addition. That's five.
Okay.
Now, so if you lump in the draft and free agency, those would be the guys who made the biggest impact in 2015. Fair?
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else new. Yeah, I'd probably say those are the five. I think that's fair to say those
okay.
are the five, yeah.
So, what happened? That's not 10 to 12, and that's why the Giants are not making the playoffs. They didn't have enough guys give them immediate impact.
And now, Jeff, the trick is this year now, you have to fill in the rest of those guys, and you also have to take care of guys that you were counting on before the year. Like, on your list, when you said you had to add 10 or 12, that was with Prince being a top corner, with JPP being your defensive end. So you have to take care of those guys and then bring in guys in addition to them.
So what I'm going to say to you is the offseason take has to be maybe five guys, five or six.
Five net.
Okay. And then you got to figure out what's going down with Victor Cruz.
What's going down
with Will Beatty? What's going down with John Beeson? You got to figure out some of these guys. What's going down with those guys?
Robert Ayers is another free agent, by the way.
Robert Ayers is a free agent. Right. You know, Prince is a free agent. So I guess what I'm saying to you is, based on the mathematical equation that I presented back in the springtime, it's not illogical to see where the Giants have landed. It's also not illogical to say that if they've got some good fortune, and they come up with seven guys, let's say, who can make an impact on this team in 2016, given the division, you're right. They could be a playoff contender.
And Jeff, quite frankly,
to turn it around sooner than later.
Yeah, Jeff, quite frankly, most of those guys are going to have to come on defense. That's where most of the work is going to have to be done here.
Sure.
John, you may or may not remember me. I called you just prior to the season opener. I told you that I felt bad for Coach Spags and the position that they were putting him in.
I do remember you said that.
We all know the guy's a great coach. He knows the X's and O's as well as anybody else in the league. But, I mean, how can you win when you've got half a team out there? I mean, the defense was awful. Let's call a spade. The defense was awful this year.
Well,
of course, the priority has to be rebuilding that, but I'm just hoping that we can get this thing turned around sooner than later. And I've always liked Coach Coffin, and whatever happens is going to happen. But that's just my take on it. So,
thank you, Jeff. Happy New Year, my friend.
Same to you guys.
Take it easy, man.
Remember when they brought Spags in at the time, they had a healthy JPP.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that didn't happen until July.
Well, as Jeff said, he called me right before the season started. So that was after you had all the injuries and stuff like that.
Because, you know, I would love to have seen Spags with a double-digit sack defensive end.
With John Beeson on the field middle linebacker.
I would love to have seen him with the heart of the defense, John Beeson.
Who knows what Nat Burhe would have been, but it would have been nice to at least have him in the mix at safety.
With Bennett Jackson.
Right, that too. Again, you don't know what those guys would have been. There were still big question marks, but at least there were more guys in the mix to give you a better chance of finding a diamond in the rough at that time.
So his pass rushing situation went bad. His middle linebacker, heart of the defense, went bad. The safety position went bad because it was so thin. You tell me one other defensive coordinator in this league who would have done better.
And then you lost Jonathan Hankins, a defensive tackle.
That didn't help either. And actually, the second half of the year's rush defense hasn't been so terrible.
No, they've been better. You know, it's funny. You actually haven't seen that much of a drop-off.
It's been better.
Since Hankins has gotten hurt. It's actually been pretty good again. It's weird, though. The Dolphin game, they
did well. But that's because of Jasper Brinkley.
Well,
Jasper Brinkley has actually stepped in and done a nice job at middle linebacker.
And, you know, funny, numbers-wise, I'm not sure if the run defense has been better in the second half in terms of pure numbers. But like we said, a lot of those games were jaded based on a couple of big runs here or there, which I think kind of happens for all teams, to be honest with you. You know, and that's what Tom Coughlin has said and McAdoo have said all year about this running game. The reason you haven't seen the good yards per carry is because they never break that long run.
Yeah,
and the last couple weeks, you've had a couple of those long ones, which have certainly helped. 201-939-4513. By the way, that Coughlin presser is now up on Giants.com. I really suggest if you're listening, check it out. He was in rare form today. Came out, went right at Jordan Renan, had some fun with him, and then he kind of just went. It was good. You know, somehow you masterfully took the Coughlin target off of your back and transferred it somewhere else. Because you used to be the guy that when he first walked out, he used to have a biting comment towards. And you managed to shift that off to somebody else. It's a very impressive feat you managed to pull off.
It's very rare when I can lie in the weeds.
But you've done so pretty well the last few years.
I don't know how, but it's happened.
Let's go back to the phones. Another Jeff. This one's up in New Hampshire. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, Jeff. What's happening, pal?
Not much. I'm just kind of curious. Obviously, everybody talks about the coach situation, and the big thing in the NFL is this Black Monday, the first Monday after the season, while the coaches get canned. traditionally, how long do the Giants usually wait before they make their decision one way or another?
Last year, I believe last year John Mara had his press conference on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Monday afternoon. So last year they decided to, you know, made their decision on keeping Tom pretty early on in the game on Monday. Here's the bottom line. I mean, the Giants have known they've been out of the playoffs technically, mathematically for, you know, this whole week. Since Saturday, and it was already, you know, an iffy proposition the week before based on results and things like that. So they've had a lot of time to think about this. I don't know anything. Paul doesn't know anything. But I don't think you're going to be sitting there for 7-10 days as the Giants figure out what they're going to do here. I don't think that's going to be the case. That's a guess. We don't know anything. But based on what we've seen from the organization in the past, Paul, I would say first few days of next week we should probably know something.
Here's what I will tell you. Baggy day is Monday regardless.
Yeah, that's correct. We will see the players for the last time on Monday. That's right.
Locker room duty, and we will have you know, all that stuff on Giants.com. I'm sure the cut-ups will be available and the reports and everything else. And then the final press conference live is on Wednesday on MSG, and that'll be the one-hour wrap-up that we'll do.
Right, whoever addresses the media from the coach's perspective and, you know, the front office and ownership, we'll hear from them on Wednesday in MSG. And, Jeff, remember this, too. I just want to point this out. I know I said before, you know, John Mara's about making the decision. This is John Mara in conjunction with his family. This is John Mara in conjunction, more importantly, with the Tishes, who obviously own the team with the Mara. So those conversations have to take place between the families as well. So all that important things, all those important things have to happen.
Yeah, I just know traditionally, like Mara said, he learned from his father to not be overly reactive. So I didn't know if that meant we'd be waiting a couple of weeks or typically. I can't. I mean,
how about this?
I
don't think you'll hear anything from anybody on Sunday. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
exactly.
Thanks
Jeff.
Guys.
Appreciate it. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Pardon me. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Rolando, I haven't heard from this guy in a while. He's in Flushing. What's up, Rolando?
Hey, Johnny boy. Hi, Paulie.
Hello.
How are you? I was in the hospital, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I hope you're feeling better.
I am now. I called last week, and I got the chance to speak to Paul. I almost bought my ticket one way twice, so I just wanted to call I believe that they should keep the coaching staff.
Okay.
And the coaching staff is not the problem. It's all about the personnel. If you talk about giving this guy one more chance, given the budget in which he can get a few free agents, and the idea of being able to draft high again, you're going to see more or less what happened with the Jets. They had a lot of money. They changed the coaching. They brought in a few free agents and some draft choices, and from 4 wins to 10 wins. And if you look at our record and think 6 games could have been won because of lack of talent, not because of lack of coaching, we would have won 6 games.
Well, let me ask you this.
The whole cliche stuff, it is what it is and all that. But, Johnny, it's not the coach. It's not the coach.
No. Let me ask you this, though. And I'm being very serious. I'm not goofing around with you now. No matter who is coaching this team next year, and let me just go hypothetical that it's Mr. X, and that could be Tom Coughlin. It could be somebody else. Mr. X. If Mr. X was coaching the Giants in 2017 and they had the roster that they're playing with now on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles, I would venture to say to you they probably would not do very much better. Even though this year they had a lot of bad breaks, there were a lot of guys hurt, I understand all of that. The roster needs some working. I don't think anybody would discount that. There are some parts that need to be acquired. I said to the caller before, I thought it might be a 2-year process to fully rebuild the roster.
I didn't think it was going to take that long because last year I was saying this year would be selecting that one individual to close the gap. I didn't think Ellis was going to be as bad as he was. We didn't think that JPP was going to blow up his hand. Who knew that Hankins was going to get hurt? I don't count on Beeson. I thought BD would be back, and if I could continue, and every time you continue, you can cross out another guy that we probably need now.
Well,
now,
there are almost the Giants have almost 24 guys who are unavailable to them because of injury this year. And so that is certainly something you need to take into account. And Coach Coughlin mentions that on his presser this morning, John. In fact,
yeah,
he talks specifically about that.
I want to press one other thing.
Yeah, real quick.
Okay. You mentioned let's give Coach Wedex. Whenever you bring Coach Wedex and it's not Coughlin, you're changing philosophies. And whenever you change philosophies, we're going to have to change personnel. Even if the personnel that you do have, it might not adapt to the new coaching staff, and now you're starting all over again. That's why I'm not that crazy about changing the coach. We're not that far away. The guy, Jeff, who called earlier, he said seven. He's on the head, seven. And three offensively and four defensively free agents. Now, when you add in the draft, now you can add even more. Because I think someone play along with Hankins. Do we go parallel? Do we think about signing Prince Mokomora, and he's known as injury prone? How much do we really give to JPP and playing with one hand? You know, how much is that worth? Is that worth $15 million? You know, you got a sample size of a half a season for $8 million, 20 total tackles and one sack. Is that worth $8 million?
If I can sum up everything that you've just said in the last couple of minutes, what it comes down to is this. There are so many moving parts.
Oh, yeah.
So many moving parts between talent that needs to be acquired, coaching staff that needs to be solidified one way or the other, draft choices that will need to be made, business decisions in terms of free agents that will need to be worked out, whether or not guys are retained or not retained. To be honest with you, there are so many moving parts that it's almost foolish just to isolate one of them and give an opinion on one, because there are that many. I would only say this to you. Like I said to I think it was Jeff before, do I think it's possible for the Giants to acquire enough players in this offseason with the core they have to be a playoff contender in 2016? I do believe that's the case. I believe that's the case. But that's as far as I can go because there are too many other moving parts.
Thank you, Rolando.
Okay. Hold it. Happy New Year.
You too, and feel better. Too. Happy New Year, my friend. Hope you're doing well. I got a top unrestricted free agent list. Is it too early to go through this?
I think it is.
Can I list a couple names?
Well, throw out a few names if you like, but I think it's too early to do it because we still have no idea how many other big names might get released.
And who might get franchised.
You don't
know. Like that.
Yeah, there's too much to be undetermined.
All right, that's fine. I won't do it.
You know?
Let me just put this. They have JPP. This is NFL.com now, so I'm not taking anything off some weird site. This is from back in December 15th. They have JPP at number 6, and they have Prince just outside the top 20.
This was
December 15th.
December 15th.
Unrestricted free
agents. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Eric Berry, I think, is an interesting guy, a safety, a young guy who's coming off obviously he came back from cancer, which was unbelievable.
No question. It's a great story. I think the bottom line, though, is, you know, as you just said a second ago, the list is almost inconsequential because you really don't know what's going to happen to that list, whether it will expand or decrease. You just don't know.
I mean, guys might re-sign their own guys. The long-term contracts, a million different things can happen. So,
that's
I just brought it up as he was asking.
I've looked at it just to get a general feeling for what the pool is. Mm-hmm. That I've done, and it's not the deepest pool I've seen. But
it's
again,
not a bad pool either, though.
It's going to change.
Right.
Well, defensive line, it's pretty thin.
Well, the thing is, I've seen a lot of 3-4 players.
That's
on that list too.
Exactly, the problem.
Not 4-3 players. Von Miller, example. Anyway,
maybe it will change.
I know Von Miller though isn't in the 4-3 scheme up there now.
No.
But I consider him more of a 3-4 outside linebacker.
I agree.
That's just me. Hey, by the way, I got to go through Jeff Fiegel's fantasy picks for this weekend, Paul.
Please.
Here's Jeff Fiegel's Week 17 DraftKings lineup. Now, if you never played on DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitment. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Here's Fiegs' Week 17 lineup. Fiegs is out of commission this weekend, by the way. He's with his kid at a
punting camp
trying to get into college. So that's good stuff for Fiegs. So me, Paul, and Lance will hold down the pregame show out there at MetLife Central on Sunday. If you want to come down, we'll be out there at 11:30. All right, he picks Tom Brady. They're trying to clinch home field advantage for the playoffs, and they're taking on the Dolphins, who have struggled defensively this year. So I think this makes a lot of sense. $7,400 projected to score 25 points. Now, the Steelers are going for a playoff spot, and I think that's why Jeff decided to go with D'Angelo Williams.
Okay.
They got something to play for. Williams has stayed healthy this year. He's done a great job subbing in for Le'Veon Bell, who obviously has been hurt this year. And they're taking on the Browns defense, and the Browns have give up a league-high 135 yards per game to opposing running backs. He's listed at $7,100, expecting a big game, and 16 points is his projection. A wide receiver, he's going with DeSean Jackson. See, now, I'm going to disagree with Fecals on this one. Who knows what the Redskins are going to do? We all know DeSean Jackson has a tendency to get some, you know, hamstring issues and things like that from time to time. So he likes DeSean Jackson, though. $4,700 is the price point. He thinks that Jackson will have some big plays against the Cowboys secondary that does not have a lot of speed at corner, and they have struggled at times this year. Though their defense really has been pretty good the second half of the year. They just haven't been able to score any points. But he's going to DeSean Jackson, again, projected to score 12, $4,700. That's Fiegel's DraftKings lineup for the week. To draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. Reminder, folks, as well, thank you, Dave, I did not do that yet today. No show tomorrow for New Year's Day. So this is your finale for the week, and then next week we'll be on every day, as we will all off season long, normal
weekday.
Schedule, more
weekday.
Or less.
Every
what
week.
I say?
Every
you
said
day.
Every day.
Every weekday.
Every weekday.
Yeah, we ain't working weekends anymore, folks. That ain't happening again until August, maybe end of July. We'll be here for the draft on the weekend. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We're taking some days off. If you don't like it, too bad. 201.
We get weekends back.
We earn them. 201-939-4513. Well, Tatino will be doing his film study in the weekends, of course. He'll be there locked up in his basement with his old projector on, watching. He'll be breaking down Y.A. Tittle film from the 50s and writing down things on his yellow legal pad.
Oh, he was the 60s.
He didn't start in the late 50s?
Well, he did, but he got to the Giants in the 60s.
Well, you're allowed to break down tape that's not Giants.
That's true. That's true. Boy, the film with those little sprockets, it's really tough. They break easily.
Sprockets? It's like Spacely Sprockets from the Jetsons?
The Jetsons. I'm impressed.
I grew up watching the Jetsons. Of course.
Hey, George.
Okay. Michael in New York City. You're up next. Hope Paul just didn't scare you off the phone. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Paul. Atlanta.
Hi.
What's up, Mike?
Actually, I'm just
close enough.
Kind of want to express my disappointment in the reactionary fan base that we seem to have.
What's that? Why is that, Michael?
Because, you know, this team was in six games where we were right there at the end. And we all can agree that our defense is extremely underperforming. I mean, untalented on many levels due to injury, lots of different reasons. I mean, we're really close to breaking the most passing yards in a season record.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to bring that up, Michael, but that is, since you brought it up, I'll give the details on it. Right now the Giants sit, and I can bring this up right here. They have allowed 297.9 passing yards per game this year. The NFL record for most passing yards allowed per game ever in NFL history belongs to the 2011 Green Bay Packers at 299.8. See, last week, Teddy Bridgewater really helped that number out. He went for under 200, and that dropped the Giants' number about 18 yards. So right now the Giants do not own the worst pass defense in NFL history. But you're right. That is on the line this weekend, Michael, depending on what Sam Bradford does.
Right. But, you know, we're still – if we had won three more games, we'd be in the playoffs right now. Three of those seven games that were very close, including the Jets game in overtime, which we should have just won at the end of regulation with a field goal. So how do you look at this and say, you know what, it's really coaching that's destroying this team. It's coaching that – like, didn't let our team come back from a 28-point deficit against the best team in the league. You know, kept us in every single game. I just don't see it. It's, if you give us an average defense, this is a playoff team right now. So a few more players, just a few more changes, this team is right there. I don't see the need to blow up anything at any level, really. Everybody gets another chance, and we move forward.
All right.
I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, and I understand why some folks would feel that way. I understand why some folks would feel the other way. It, you know, there's no easy answer to this.
No, thank you for the call, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Paul's right. I mean, look, I see it both ways. You know, fans, they look at, you know, the lack of playoff appearances. They get upset. But at the same time, you look at how the games go this year, you can see it both ways. I get it.
I mean,
I get it.
No Victor Cruz, no John Beeson, JPP gone for most of the year. Then he comes back, he's not the same player. Prince missed some time. Look, the team has had a lot of bad luck, too. Tom doesn't like to talk about luck because he's a coach. Coaches believe that they can plan and control everything.
Well, I'll say this, too.
You know,
and they've had some
they've had a lot of bad luck.
I will say that they have, but I will say in the beginning of the year, I think they also had a lot of good luck with their plus-minus turnover ratio.
Yeah.
And I know the coach, and Tom hates hearing about luck when it comes to turnovers. He hates that.
He believes it's all earned.
But
yeah,
a lot of times, it's good fortune, too.
It does happen.
It's luck. And one of the reasons, by the way, that I think the team's record over the past five, six games, seven games isn't very good.
Turnovers are down.
Look at the turnover ratio. And we talked about it in the midseason. That one of the reasons the Giants were in the position they were in to win the division is because they were the, I think at that time, the best turnover-takeaway ratio team in the league. They were
top
plus
three
double
for
digits.
Sure.
Now they're all the way down. I think they're around number eight.
Wait, where is that?
They're seventh in the league right now in the plus six. And, you know, that's the difference.
At one point, plus 13?
They were plus double digits. Absolutely. I'm not sure if they might have been as high as 13. But look, that's dipped over the last half of the year, and that's one of the reasons they're not winning as many games.
No.
I don't want to break it down and make it that simple, but, folks, it's really that simple.
And, you know, it's funny because I don't know how you ignore the luck factor, because there are times when a ball pops free and it doesn't bounce to you and it bounces to the other guy.
Right.
Or it bounces out of bounds. That's luck. And I appreciate the coach in every way, shape, or form, but it happens.
Well, did the Giants do anything to make Cam Newton drop that handoff to Cameron Artis Payne at the end of that Panthers game?
No, not in that case.
Besides falling the ball, which obviously is part of it, they didn't force that turnover. They dropped
the
ball.
And that's why, folks, I want you to also be very careful when you talk about takeaways and turnover ratios and stuff like that. I kind of prefer the forced fumble stat than the fumble recovery stat, because
recovering fumbles is luck in a lot of ways.
It's skill. It's being in the right place, but it can be lucky. Like you said, Cam Newton simply dropped that ball, and the Giants recovered it. Well, that's fine. That's a fumble recovery. Kerry Wynn recovered the ball. He deserves credit for that. But
how
for
many...
me, forced fumbles is a better indicator of what a defense has done to impose its will on the other team.
I think that's a great point because, for example, how many times do you see a fumble hit the ground and a player on the other team jumps on it and literally has the ball in his hands but can't come up with it? It bounces off and then the Giants or the other team recovers it. I mean, you have no impact on whether or not that first guy holds on to the ball when he falls on it. So there is a certain amount of luck when it comes to those numbers.
Forced fumbles is a stat that is directly affected by the impact of what the defensive player did. Forced fumble.
So the Giants would not get credit for a forced fumble on that Cam Newton play?
No. That is a Giants fumble recovery. It is not a forced fumble.
There wouldn't be one of those deals where they give the forced fumble to the player that was closest to
the
football.
No. Forced fumbles have to be...
Okay. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
It's an effect of a defensive player who made a play. They can't just have the offensive player drop the ball.
All right, I got 7 minutes. I got three calls. I'm going to align one here, Dave, because I haven't heard from Gunny D out in Seattle in more than a year. What's going on, Gunny D?
What's up? What's up, sir? First of all, Happy New Year to both you and Paulie D.
Happy New Year, Gunny D.
Congratulations on your wedding. Obviously, I haven't spoken to you in a while, so I
Thank
pray
you.
That you and
That's
your wife will
time.
Have many years of happiness together. Paulie D, I love you, man. Your football acumen is off the stinking charts, man. I mean, you're spot on, so I appreciate everything that you
thank
do for
you.
Us.
It's kind of you.
Hey, Gunny D, so by the way, this is a big game for you this weekend, because if the Giants win, we're going to be in your neck of the woods next year in Seattle.
Yeah.
Hey, believe me, I've already looked at the schedule, man, and hey, that bottle of wine is still waiting for you. Hello? Paulie being a paisan, you know he likes his wine.
Little Francis Albert in the background.
Make it red, by the way. Paulie likes the red.
Hey, well, of course. Hey, the Merlot of the cab? Come on.
There you go.
But anyway, guys, you know, I was highly upset at the Jet game. After that game, even before the play, I felt that Coach Coffey was making a bad call with going for the touchdown as opposed to the field goal, because It may have changed the decision-making of the Jets had we gone up where they had to score two touchdowns as opposed to getting just a touchdown and a field goal, because, as you know, if you have to score two touchdowns, well, they would have had to change maybe the play call.
I don't want to rehash that.
At that point was a stop.
Gunny D, I hear you, and we've talked about that a lot. I don't want to go back and rehash that Jets game again. What's your larger point?
So what I'm trying to say is that at that point, I felt that, you know, it's time for him to go. However, that I was making an emotional decision. The more I thought about it, the coaches put players in position to make plays. Players have to make plays.
Absolutely.
I'm going to just mention two plays where we would have been in a totally different position. And both of them were from a defensive player who has a knack for picking off the balls, DRC. He makes those two interceptions against Washington and against the Panthers. This is a different conversation.
Well, so against the Redskins, he had
that,
a ball,
like,
right in his gut, and he was gone for a touchdown,
to do
too.
That.
Nah, Gunny D, you're absolutely right. And look, all the coaches can do is put the players in the position to make a play. Heck, if you wanted to go another play, go back to the Patriot game. Landon Collins has the interception right in his hands. It's right there. I mean, what else? What else could you ask for?
They had the drop pick against the Jets too.
What else can you ask for?
You know, here's the thing.
Or even the Beckham drop touchdown to start the game against the Panthers. Who know how that changes how that whole
and then the game
nonsense
against the
goes?
Patriots,
of course,
too.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. No matter what you want to break it down like, everybody shares the victories and the Super Bowl championships.
True.
They all get a ring for that.
Yep.
And everybody shares the blame for defeats. Now, how you want to ration it out, how much percentage you want to put on the players, the coach, the GM, whatever you want to do, that is all subjective. That is all subjective. I promise you this. There is not one general manager or owner in this league who gets 100% agreement across the board in his offices about how much blame goes on each segment of the franchise. I guarantee you that. It is never unanimous. Never.
Thank you, Gunny D. We appreciate it. We got to run, pal.
Oh, that's my Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you as well. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on? You got to be a little tighter today, all right, pal?
Yeah, okay. I'm just real quick. I got a number of items, but I'll
make
it quick. And you don't have to comment on any of this. You can just maybe just sit there and listen if you want.
That's exactly what I'm going to do, Len.
Okay.
I'm going to put my legs up. Go right ahead.
Here we go, then. Best kept secret at NFL headquarters in the last 2 years is gambling is driving the growing interest in the game, not the beauty of the game. Number two, you can't live on legacy. If we want to go another year with this team in place, the leadership of the team, I'm okay with that because I support these owners. I think these owners will make the right decision for us. But you can't live on legacy. You got to somehow let it go and move on to the next item. Don't underestimate the value of a coach of the New York Football Giants being able to handle a press conference. I think that's very important in this marketplace. Just think about this with Tom over the last 11 years. No Ditkas, no Moras, no Denny Green outbursts.
No, and no
the
Rex
guy
Ryan
has
outbursts.
Been a genius at it. He's really good. And don't underestimate the importance of that to the ownership of this team and the importance in this market. You got to win home games. If we're going to go 8-8, guys, win the 8 home games. Never send your best customers home unhappy. Very entertaining season, but those last couple of losses from New England to the Jets to Carolina, oh, my God, they were just brutal. You got to win your home games.
It's not wrong.
And finally, hey, listen, end of the year. John, you got a great team working with you. You guys did a really good job this season.
Oh, thank you, Len.
Dealing with us crazy fans, you guys were really terrific. I'm not looking forward to the off season. January will be the longest month of the year again. But hey, good job, guys, and listen, Happy New Year's. Hey,
you too.
Paul, good job, buddy.
Thank you, Len.
Thank you, Len.
Well. Enjoy your holiday.
You take care.
Happy New Year. I'm already starting to look at college guys, by the way. I haven't looked at anything like firm yet, but I've looked at some names. I've done a little work.
I have not started.
I have not had a chance to watch any bowl games. I've been running around so much because my wife's away. I've had the dog by myself and everything. I have not had a chance to watch any of these bowl games, which is a problem.
I have not started either, and I don't know. I got to get to it, don't I?
Yeah, it's coming soon.
It's coming soon.
Hey, look, you still have 2 months till the combine. And, like, what, a month till the Senior Bowl? Senior Bowl is the end of January? Yeah. So.
College basketball starts
next week. You have some time. When's your first game?
I got a game Monday.
Do you really?
LIU in Central Connecticut.
Next Monday?
As in Monday coming up.
Oh, really?
Up in New
Britain. I don't have my first game until the third week of January, so I have a little bit of a breather in
there.
All right, final call of the show. David in North Carolina. David, you got 60 seconds. Go, my friend.
Yeah, all right, guys. I wanted to call back the other day. I kind of caught the tail end of the program and had to hurry up, so I wanted to make a couple more points.
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead. You got it.
About Coach. Listen, us fans aren't trying to be fickle and disrespect Coughlin, and I appreciated anybody that listened to yesterday's show with Anita. Her remarks were spot on. I mean, we're talking about people's livelihoods, their families, et cetera. And so, but unfortunately, you know, this is what we got to talk about. This is the nature of the beast, the NFL. The reason it's pointed at Coughlin is because, from like I said the other day, all rumors, reports, whatever you want to call them, point to the Maris and the Tisch not wanting to let go of Reese. I think we all could make argument that the talent on the team could be better. But a couple points to make in regard to Coach Coughlin. Let's just look at it from a realistic point of view. Coach Coughlin's not getting any younger. When is the transit going to happen? At some point, you know, the gentleman has to retire. He's getting up there in age, et cetera. You know, there may not be a better time than now. There's a trend building. We keep talking about this year and how close we were in so many games. And, yeah, close is good in horseshoe and hand grenades. Let's look at the trends here. It's a bad trend, and I believe the trend has mostly been because of talent, but there's a trend, and it's four consecutive seasons of not making the playoffs and now losing seasons. You know, the good thing about Coach Coughlin when he got here, besides that inaugural season, man, we never had a losing record. Well, now we're starting to have losing records. Another point, what's left to do on the, you know, in the terms of terminating other people? Coach Coughlin now has had three different defensive coordinators, Spags twice. We went through two offensive coordinators. And so what is the, you know, what's the end result? What's left to do? And then the last thing, a couple of quotes from the past, and I don't put this on Coach Coughlin, but let's just think about this also as well. Remember when Coughlin got here, what was the introductory press conference? Injuries have become a cancer. Well, I think we all can agree the cancer is back. It needs to be put out again. And I'm not saying that's on him or another head coach to be able to facilitate that, but it's there. And then also remember Mr. Mara commenting on the offense is broken. Well, I don't know about you guys, and I know McAdoo's held in high regard, but Sunday night the offense looked pretty broken to me. Is the offense been better because of Odell Beckham?
Well, yeah.
McAdoo?
Well, David, obviously you have to have talented players in order to win games. I mean, think, you know, so obviously Odell Beckham is a big part of the offensive success.
Right.
I mean,
but remember,
obviously.
We canned Gilbride because the offense was broken, and we had poor Janelle Jernigan out there catching passes at the end of the year because we didn't have any talent.
I'd like to address your one point about Coach Coughlin and his comment about injuries when he came in, which was a better part of a decade ago. The league has changed even in that short period of time.
That is true.
Many, many more players are finding themselves sidelined by injury today than they were even a decade ago. And so 10, 12, 15 years ago, injuries that were occurring, there weren't as many. And if guys were sitting out because of little nicks and this and that or what have you, it was a little bit more frowned upon because they weren't as frequent and they didn't seem to be as severe. Over the course of the last decade or so, the injuries in this game, as players become bigger, faster, and stronger, the injuries have become much more debilitating. They've been more frequent, and they've just basically, in a lot of ways, crippled a lot of franchises. So I think Tom's frame of reference, when you refer to that comment, comes from a little bit of a different environment than what you have today.
David, we got to run, pal.
True. Okay.
Happy New Year,
my friend. Enjoy.
Thank you for the call, bud.
I felt I wanted to get that out because I've heard enough of people talk about that comment
from
Coach when he came in. And it really is a different climate and environment with the injuries today as to that time. So, please, I really don't want to hear that one too much anymore.
Are you working tonight?
Yes.
Oh, so it'll be New Year's Eve at the newspaper for you, huh?
Yes.
Let's ring it in. Happy New Year, everybody. We had a heck of a 2015. Thank you for being with us on Giants.com and on Big Blue Kickoff Live specifically all year long. We worked real hard to try to give you some good content. We hope we did. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you'll join us again for 2016. For our entire crew this year, Anita Marks, Howard Cross, David Deal, Lance Meadow, this guy, Paul Dottino.
Jeff Fiegels.
I'm John Schmelk. Don't forget Fiegels, throw Banks and Pop into the mix, too.
All of us.
The whole group. We thank you for joining us. Our whole crew, they do a great job. All our behind-the-scenes guys, Dave, Neela, Matt, they do a fantastic job getting things up, getting things rolling. Guys in our production department, Mike, Devin, Christine, the whole group, Don. Everyone wishes you a happy New Year. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in 2016. Have a happy and safe New Year's Eve. Have fun, but stay safe. Thanks for joining us. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you on Monday on Giants.com. And, of course, game day is Sunday. Pregame, radio, WFAN, 1130, MetLife Central. If you're at the game, come by, check it out. We'll see you then. Happy New Year. Just missed.
He's got through. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!